a ministry of truth. And a very good evening to one and all. And I'm very happy to be here tonight. I almost wasn't. Caught in traffic on the LIE. It's the best place to be caught on traffic, if caught in traffic, if you're going to be caught anywhere. I'm Eric Corley. This is the Ministry of Truth. Give us a telephone call. Area code 516-246-7901. And speak to us over the air about what's happened to you, what your views are on life in general, or the world situation, or anything else. 246-7901 is our phone number. And you can call us now. It only costs, what's it cost, a dime? I haven't raised it to 25 cents yet, have I? Okay, it's still a dime, I'm told. So, by all means, take advantage of this great offer and call us now before the rates go up by 150%. You can talk about that. You can, you know, tell us what you think about payphones now costing 25 cents. It's amazing. And you know why payphones are costing 25 cents? I'll tell you why payphones are costing a quarter.
Why are payphones costing 25 cents, Eric?
Oh, you want to know that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you that too. Payphones are costing a quarter because of all these little kids playing video games. You want me to explain that further, I suppose?
Please.
I read it in an article where somebody from the telephone company said, it's not going to be a major inconvenience for anybody to put a quarter in a payphone because all these kids are putting quarters into video machines. Okay, if they can do it, then I'm sure people can put quarters in payphones as well. And nobody really knew what to say when they said that, because it's true. These kids are piling quarter after quarter into these machines, and it's you know, it's a strong argument. So I blame all these kids. There are a bunch of them downstairs right now, playing these games, okay?
And play them.
Steve Specht, huh? Where's he now? New Mexico.
Yes.
Don't only spend
working.
A penny on phone calls
he's
there.
He's got a full-time job.
I play them now, too.
Well, look.
Taking over Steve's place and all, you know.
It's not the people who play them once in a while. I mean, everyone plays these games once in a while. But it's the people that do it habitually. Okay? It's because of them that we have to pay higher phone rates. All right? And I'm kind of steamed about that. I'd like to talk to some of these people who've been playing these video games. I mean, look what they're getting us into. It's not enough that, you know, they're walking around all bug-eyed and everything and you know, not learning how to speak and, you know, important things like that. Reading, writing. They just, you know how to shoot little things and play around, build caves or whatever you do in those things. But now we have to pay more to talk to each other. You see, this communication is breaking down because of all this video nonsense. So something's got to be done about it. Something has to be done. And this is the place to start. All right. 246-7901. I bet no one's going to call because no one can afford, thank you, because no one can afford to pay for the phone call, even though it hasn't gone up yet. People think it's gone up. People are afraid. No one knows how to make a phone call anymore. No one knows how to dial long distance. Do you use a phone company? Do you use MCR? Do you use Sprint? What do you do? How do you make a phone call? No one knows anymore.
Didn't Joan Rivers use
what?
Didn't Joan Rivers use one of those?
She advertises one. Yeah, and all these celebrities.
I
don't know which one she advertises, but I don't pay attention. I just see these people making complete fools of themselves, saying, this is how I make my phone calls, and it's insane. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to survive the next 10 years. That's my view, though. It's chaos, you know?
Yeah.
Complete chaos. It's It's kind of fun, but it's also kind of, oh, I don't know. 246-7901. Give us a call if you have any views on the matter, and we will put you on the air. Let me make sure we get all the controls working here. Looks like we have a couple of calls waiting, but one of our lines is open, so call us now. 246-7901, area code 516, the Ministry of Truth. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Hi there. How are you?
Just when you started the show, I was just thinking, yesterday when I read in the paper that they were voting on, they were going to try to attempt to pass Lisa's legislative body, the seatbelt law today.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard anything about it?
I don't know. I'm following that.
You haven't heard anything about
it? Tell me what you know about it.
What I know about it? As of, what was it, yesterday afternoon, all it has to be is, combined resolution between the Assembly and the Senate, you know, up in Albany, where they voted on a resolution, and apparently it was going to pass, but everybody liked it, with the exception of a few straight people. And Cuomo was going to sign it, so I was just wondering if you had any idea what was happening. I haven't seen a paper recently.
Well, I know that at this very moment, I believe they have some sort of a debate going on. Okay, at this very moment in the state senate, I believe it's the state senate or the state assembly, one of those,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of those shooting matches, they're having some sort of a debate on whether or not they should have mandatory seatbelts. Now, I've heard from a number of people that this law is going to pass. It's going to be in effect. And by the beginning of next year, you're going to have to wear seatbelts.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
When I originally heard the law, they originally said it only applied to people 16 and over,
uh-huh.
which seems a little bit silly because that, with the child safety seatbelt law, which applies to something like 5 years old and younger,
uh-huh.
you get like not 11 years age where you can stop wearing a seatbelt for 11 years and then all of a sudden you have to start wearing it again.
I mean, there's a law for people, for kids, there's a law for adults.
Well, no, I mean, the law for kids has been existing for about a year and a half.
Right. But the
child safety seat law.
Uh-huh.
And children under 5 years of age have to be wearing safety seats.
Yeah.
Whatever. Now, last I heard, anybody over 16 years of age sitting in the front seat will have to wear seatbelts. So apparently, between the ages of 5 and 16, you can bounce instead of hit, you know, you don't have to wear a seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
Bounce off the car.
That's interesting. What do you think the reason is for that?
You need to understand them.
Well, there must be a reason. I mean, you know, why do they start at age 16 wearing seatbelts? I mean, I don't get it. You know, why shouldn't a 15-year-old wear a seatbelt just like a, you know, 49-year-old?
I don't know. Maybe they figure, I don't know, they're not drivers, so they don't have to do it. Kids don't want to, when a parent puts a kid in the car, a 10-year-old kid in the car, they don't want to put on a seatbelt. I don't happen to agree with it. I happen to disagree with it strongly.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit ridiculous to...
Well, do you wear your seatbelt?
All the time. I mean, I feel uncomfortable when I don't wear my seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a habit when you get in the car, then.
Yeah, I've even talked my whole family into doing it.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Do you have seatbelts in the back seat of your car?
One of my cars, the car that I drive, is missing one seatbelt, and I think it was the manufacturer's fault.
Yeah.
So I've had some friends who are very upset about that.
Well, for some reason, backseat seatbelts are always a problem. I mean, I've tried them in many different cars.
It is safer than the front seat. I mean, if you're going to get into an accident, you're going to hit foam padding in front of you.
Either that or you'll fly above the seat and hit the windshield and also a couple of people.
Flying above seats. Most people just get a concussion hitting the front of the back of the front seat.
Well, you're assuming they have the seats with the padded heads and all that kind of thing, but if they have the old-fashioned type of seats that aren't that high, you can easily, you know, go right over those things.
Okay, yeah, that's very true.
I mean, I've witnessed it. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think... What do you think of seatbelts on buses, school buses in particular?
All right. On small buses, those small, like, 15-seaters,
uh-huh.
seem very reasonable.
Yeah.
But I was a bus counselor for 45 kids between the ages of 3 and 16, and it would have been impossible to regulate that. I would have liked to see them in seatbelts, but on my first day, I tried to get them in the seatbelts,
uh-huh.
and... Every 2 or 3 minutes, one kid would be popping out of the seatbelt. And when I got them back into the seatbelt, another kid would pop out of the seatbelt. And then after talking with other counselors, it was generally agreed that none of the kids wore seatbelts. But these buses had very, very high seats and very, very well padded.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't feel comfortable with the kids not being seatbelted, but it seemed somewhat safe. So,
yeah.
You know, how could a bus driver driving 45 kids to school at 7:30 in the morning regulate all these kids, you know, putting on the seatbelts.
Uh-huh.
I don't see how that could possibly be. I was a bus counselor. You know, there's a bus driver and I was supervising the kids. Now,
uh-huh.
when kids go to school in the morning, there's no one supervising them, just a driver.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't seem reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to see it, but it doesn't. I don't think it would happen.
Yeah. I used to drive a bus a couple of years ago. For a short time, a couple of kids, and it is hard to maintain control. It really is. And I can't imagine what a big one is like.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it must be impossible to ensure that everybody's got their seatbelt on. And also, you know, I read in papers where people think that they would use them to crack each other over the head with and all that kind of stuff.
I believe it because they use themselves to crack each other over the head with.
Yeah, but still, when you consider buses rolling over and all that kind of thing, it's, you know, it's a lot better to be, you know, staying in your seat than rolling all over the bus inside. And so I think, you know, it's something that should be looked into.
I agree, absolutely.
There's a lot of merit for the, you know, for the automatic seat belts that, you know, once you get into the seat, they close on you or something.
Well, yeah, but how do you do that for on a bus?
Well, you could have them on every seat.
Well, how does a kid get into the seat belt?
He sits down and immediately these arms, hey, that's an idea. You know, his arms envelop him and and he's safe until, you know, he's programmed to leave the bus at his designated stop. Yes.
Yeah, it's a very interesting word.
Oh yeah.
Don't happen to like it too much.
No.
Yeah. Free choice and all that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, well that's my view on seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear what other people think. If anyone knows what's going on with that, we have a teletype machine out there that's, you know, semi-literate. It can get us the news most of the time, but you know, if something breaks during my show, I will definitely pass it on to everybody else.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Right.
246-7901. That's our phone number, and you can call us with your thoughts on seatbelts or 25-cent phone calls or anything else for that matter. I mentioned before that I was stuck in traffic on the Long Island Expressway, and that was quite an experience in itself to be caught in rush hour. It's always fun. Get to meet a few people, you know, chat a bit. And if it wasn't for a couple of people letting me cut them off, I don't think I would have made it here in time. It was pretty amazing. I was in Queens, okay, of all places. Yes, Queens. It's a place called Leaf Rack City. Have you ever been to Leaf Rack City? It's this huge apartment-type building. It's like a complete city with supermarkets and buildings. It's quite a place, you know. People live in these little ant colonies all over. And I was there to straighten out some business with the motor vehicle department. It seems that for some reason, unbeknownst to me, it is beknownst to me because it's just so unbelievable that I can't believe that they've done this. But for some amazing reason, they decided that my license should be suspended. Have you ever had that happen to you where your license is suddenly suspended and you don't know, you know, how come they're doing this to me? Well, I found out why. It seems that in November of last year, this officer of the law, and I put that in double quotes, and maybe italics too, thought that I went through a red light. Now, you know, everyone's entitled to make a mistake, and I believe he made his mistake then. All I asked was a chance to prove him wrong, and it seems that you're really not entitled to that chance very often, because all kinds of horrible things have happened. They've lost records. They haven't sent things back. I've sent them checks, and I've sent them all kinds of things to cover the... you have to pay them to plead innocent. I don't know if you know that, but you have to pay them to plead innocent for some reason. So I did that, and they claimed to have lost the check, and they said, oh, you didn't send us a check, so we have to suspend your license, and now you have to come into here and do this and do that and wait on lines, argue with people, and, you know, play chess over here, and do just about everything that you can think of. So that's what I was doing today. I was going all throughout this building, and I had to go before this judge-type person, all right? Now, judges are pretty amazing people. The traffic judges are a whole nother ballgame, okay? I don't know where they get these people, but they always seem to be upset. They're always so angry, but you don't know at what. What are they angry about? I mean, did somebody just smash up their car downstairs? And they're taking it out on all these people who allegedly committed violations. All of those people who go before these judges are presumed to be innocent, but not one of them is treated as if they're innocent, which is very interesting. There was a rather nice traffic judge in there when I got there. Unfortunately, 12 o'clock hit, and that's when they changed the guards, and this guy came in snarling and cussing, and I said, oh boy, this is not going to be pleasant. Now, I wasn't here for a trial. I was just here to enter a plea for the fourth time. I entered pleas three other times, and they lost them or didn't follow through on them. So I was here to enter the plea before a person, not by mail, not by phone, not by anything else. Just enter the plea and get it over with. Well, he let me say what my plea was, and then he said, why didn't you do this before? And that's when I started my story as to all these horrible things that happened to me. And the nice, democratic, worldly judge, who's supposed to be open to so many opinions, said, that couldn't have happened. That was his judgment on that matter. And then the next question was, well, since you have to pay $15 to plead innocent, that's your God-given right in this country, since you have to plead, you know, pay $15 to plead innocent, do you have cash? Can you pay cash? And I said, no, I have a check. And he got very, very, very upset at that. He said, my God, can't you answer a question? I asked you, can you pay by cash? Okay, can you say yes or no? Do you have to give me your life story? It was really something else. He said, can you answer a straight question? And I looked at him and I said, I think so. Deliberately, of course, because this guy was starting to get on my nerves. And I gave him the one word that he wanted. That was no. He didn't seem to understand that I gave him that word at the beginning of the sentence the last time. But nevertheless, I gave him the word he wanted, no, and it registered in his mind, and he filled out the appropriate forms. Now, I know if when my alleged date comes up, when I have to go through all this stuff again and you know, go over the case that happened way back in November and how the light was not red, how it was actually, you know, green and yellow at the same time and all that kind of thing, if I get this guy, I don't stand a chance. In fact, nobody stands a chance if they get this guy. Nobody at all. All day long I was hearing comments about how there hasn't been a single person found not guilty in the last month. So it seems to me that there's not really much due process around here, especially when it comes to motor vehicles. Has anyone out there ever been found not guilty of a motor vehicle violation after appealing? I haven't found anybody. It doesn't seem to be something that happens. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the deal is here. It's all kinds of unfair things going on. And there are all kinds of signs in this place saying, you know, there is an extra $10 fee for all fines. No explanation as to what this $10 fee is for. Just, there will be this. You will pay it. Persons found not guilty do not have to pay this. As if even considering that not guilty people would have to pay a fine. Ugh, I can't believe it. 2467901. USB, you're on the air.
I guess I'm a regular on this show now. We missed you last week.
Oh, I wasn't here last week. I'll talk about that later.
Lost the state job.
Oh, right. How are you doing?
Oh, all right, I guess. But, let's not talk about that. It gets redundant there.
Yeah. You heard me rattling on about the state and all that. I guess that sort of inspired you to call.
Which court was that you went to? I was just going to answer.
That was the Leaf Rack City place.
Oh, because I never had to pay to, plead not guilty. I'm a connoisseur of the court.
Well, it's not, everybody doesn't have to pay to plead not guilty, but when they screw up enough times and lose your papers and proclaim that you haven't done it by the right date, whether or not it's their fault, they say as a penalty you have to pay $15. And what threw me was they said, you know, that they sent me something through the mail saying pay $15, and I figured, okay, I'm not going to fight these people. I'll pay them the $15. So I wrote a check to them and sent it to them, and that's when they lost it. And then when I came in today, I fully expected to pay the $15 again. But for some reason, when you come in person, you can't give them a check. You have to give them cash. But if you're doing it by mail, you can give them a check. And I don't understand the rationale behind that.
That's something you went through. I thought you were talking about Hop Hog, and I could have sworn I knew which judge you were talking about.
Oh, well, I think there are very many of them. It's, you know, these traffic judges are simply unbelievable. I've seen them. I've watched other people going through this kind of thing, and you know, I don't want to judge a whole group of people, but it just seems to me that you get more justice on the big scale than on things like this. You just seem to be presumed guilty, and everybody I know who's gone through something along these lines has a different horror story to tell, and it's indicative of the way that court system works. I mean, has something happened to you, like a?
I've been in there. I guess I'm a victim of circumstance. I feel that way. At least, you know, if you look in the dictionary and look that up, you'll see my picture there, victim of circumstance.
They have you hung up and framed, I guess.
I got a lot
of... More ways than one.
I've been in court a lot, and just a lot of... You know, never anything... I never had any major traffic tickets. I just happened to get a lot of little...
Uh-huh.
...dink things, you know? And just a couple of weeks ago, I... You know where the ground round is in Harpaugh, that restaurant?
Yeah, I do.
47 and 111. I go in there a lot. I'm a regular. I used to go in there to eat or something. And my father was sick. He died that day. He was really sick.
Uh-huh.
He had the cancer. And I was looking for somebody because, you know, I knew he was going to die every single night. I was looking for somebody I knew. In there, I pulled in into the parking lot. And, you know, I could tell who was there by the cars because I'm so... such a regular, I know who's there. So I look at the cars, and I pull right out. After I didn't see the car. And then a cop was behind me, and he pulled me over and gave me a ticket for avoiding an intersection.
Avoiding an intersection?
He said I used the parking lot to avoid an intersection, and I tried to explain to him, look, my father's on his deathbed, and, you know, besides that, I just got laid off. And I said, you know, don't think this is he's carrying your authority too far. I said, give me a ticket.
Oh, you shouldn't say that because when you say that to a law enforcement person, they get testy and they want to prove that their authority, you know.
Well, it's too late. He already started writing before I said that. Once it's too late.
Yeah, I know, and it takes a good long time, too, to go through all that. They leave you in the car for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's really something else.
Oh, no, I got to get the lawyer again because I got a lot of points.
Yeah.
That's a really long story.
Well, you know what you can do? You can take one of these defensive driving courses, which they offer, you know, it takes about 3 hours or something, and you get your points reduced that way, and if you don't have any points, you get a reduction in your insurance, which they have to reduce your insurance, you see. So it's well worth your while to look into that. There's like a $25 fee to take it, but it lasts for 3 years, and it's very worth it. You learn a few things, too.
I was in a really bad mood because it was when I broke up with my fiance and I got wordy with a cop and he took it out on me by giving me every ticket he could think of. So it was, how can you prove that in court? So it added up to a lot of points.
Uh-huh.
It was a real mess, but that was years ago. I really called to see what the opinion was on the seatbelt thing. I ran in a store to get some oil for my car and I come out, he was talking about buses.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned before, I am all for the seatbelt ruling. You know, the only argument I seem to be hearing against it is that it's getting too involved in, you know, in personal decisions of people. But there has to be a reason why you don't want to wear a seatbelt, I think, you know, if something's going to be argued.
I just don't wear one. I don't know. I drive an MG. I guess it probably would be safe, but the car, it's got no roof anyway. I feel like I'd rather get thrown out of the car if it tips because I'd be trapped in it if it tipped over.
Yeah, that's only if it tips. What if it doesn't, you know? You're going to be slammed into the windshield and, you know, you get a concussion, something worse. There's all kinds of horrible things that can happen. At least with a seatbelt, you're preventing that second collision that always takes place inside the car. There's the first one where you hit a wall or a truck or something. Then there's the second one where you hit the end of your car. And that's the one that hurts.
That's true, but I still feel, my opinion is on this, that the government just goes a little bit too far with what's the law, and, you know, let me make up my mind on some things. Stop protecting me from it. Let me...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's a sad state when the government has to step in and tell you how to take care of yourself, but that's no reason to, just because the government is doing that, not to take care of yourself.
Yeah, I know. Well, me being health nut and everything, I've been working out for 11 years and eating health food and all this and that.
Uh-huh.
I know, but I can't be perfect. I don't like to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
I wear it sometimes, you know, but I guess I just think that the government steps in too much. If somebody doesn't want to wear a helmet on their motorcycle, it's actually bad business.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's you can get pretty hurt on a motorcycle.
Yeah, you can, but
I mean, if you're gonna do it on a couple of issues like that, why not just legalize suicide? You know.
Now you're getting there. Well, what can they do about that? I mean, that's somebody have a bow, nothing to do.
They can prosecute them. I don't know how they deal with it, but
you're right.
You know, they wouldn't so much say that there isn't anything wrong, but they might have little buildings, you know, where you can go in and commit suicide or something like that. You know, make a commercial enterprise. They'd probably rake it in. Yeah, I was on the New Jersey Turnpike last week, in fact, and you're right about that. No one was doing 55. It's pretty amazing.
I've been up and down that road when I was in the Navy at least 20, 25 times.
Uh-huh.
I've tried to do 55, and you got the trucks right on your rear end.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of times I wonder, roads around here are in horrible shape, potholes all over the place, and there are these little two-lane roads, you know, and I just wonder, you know, doing 40, 45 in these narrow things, you know, a slip of the wrist and you know, you're probably dead and you're taking somebody with you.
Are you right? 25A. That area, you mean?
Lots of areas on Long Island.
I'm surprised. You know, I drive a DMG. I put over 50,000 miles in less than a year.
Uh-huh.
Drive for sport. And I guess I feel I can handle it really good. And I'll tell you, those roads, I think, like you said, the speed limit's a little too high on those roads.
Well, there's just lots of places I could think of, you know. I'm sure lots of people near their hometowns have the same problems. And to, you know, to let people go as fast as they want would just...
Not as fast as you want, but those expressway was designed for... it's a straight road. 65 is not going to slow you down. You know?
Well, I don't think you get pulled over for 65. I really don't. You know, it's when you're doing... Because I've seen people go by at 80. Okay, and if they can even think of doing that, I don't think that they bother you at 65. I mean, you know, I'm not advocating doing that, but...
They can, technically.
Yeah, they can technically if there's something else that annoys them, you know.
See, you're not free to do what you're doing if you're still breaking the law.
Uh-huh.
But just maybe with the 55, if they give you 65, you'd be going 75.
Right, that's the whole point, you know. At least this way, if the limit is 55, figure a lot of people do 10 miles an hour above that, so it's actually 65, which is pretty much the limits of safety. Now, if you make it 65, people are going to do 75, which is getting a little bit crazy. You know, on any road, that's a little bit crazy, because anything can happen. It makes you have to stop suddenly, and you just cannot stop suddenly at 75. Ask any freight train. Uh-huh.
Somebody passed me on the shoulder of the road, and I was going 70.
Yeah.
And I was ridiculous. Could you imagine driving in the left lane going 70 and somebody passes you in like the shoulder area?
You know, everybody was using the shoulder today on the expressway. I don't know why. It was a four-lane highway in one direction. It was pretty amazing. And people were passing on the right and passing on the left, having a grand old time. Yeah, you know, it's. I didn't see any accidents, so everyone seems to be okay.
I'm going to give somebody else a chance. There's probably a few other people I want to call.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for calling. Good luck with everything in the future, and keep on smiling, all that kind of thing.
You know, I really believe that the seatbelt law is going to
stop. Uh-huh. Hey, I think the legislators are going to be here next week. Make sure you give them a call and give them a piece of your mind on a couple of things.
Sure,
I'll listen to you, sir. Great. Okay, thanks for calling. Today on the Ministry of Truth. I am Eric Corley here until 7 o'clock, at which time Deirdre Jersey takes over with her show music of various sorts from Broadway and Hollywood and Stony Brook, too, on occasion. all kinds of things like that. And there were a couple of people ringing phones that gave up, and I don't like to see that. I mean, you know, you can keep ringing and ringing and ringing, and you're not being charged until we pick up. That's why we don't put you on hold, because that's a waste of time for you. So if you call up and it rings, stay on, and we'll put you on. Don't worry. 246-7901. Boy, these chairs are squeaky.
It's a new one, too.
This is a new one?
I think it's a prerequisite for a radio station chair.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter anyplace else, but on a radio station, you know, you don't want it squeaking all the time. You know, people hear this, and they get annoyed. Maybe that's why people aren't calling as much as they should be, because they hear squeaking, you know? Ugh.
Complain to the management.
I'd like to. Is that the management in there? Well, I'll talk to them later. But anyway, 246-7901 is our phone number. I mentioned last week. Okay, last week is even more fun than today for me, all right? Yes, last week was even more fun. Because I had to be someplace even further away than Lee Frank City. I had to be in Washington, D.C. for a very important meeting with somebody. And I decided, you know, I had to catch one of these, you know, cheapo planes from Newark, New Jersey that, you know, cost very little amounts of money. And I had to be there at 7:30 in the morning. Yeah, 7:30 in the morning I had to be there. So you can imagine what time I had to leave here. It was ridiculous. So the night before, I figured, hey, I'll get, you know, money for the plane for my handy-dandy bank machine, which I tried to do and got a message saying, I'm sorry, I cannot help you now. Please try again later. You know, you ever get that message from one of your machines? I do all the time. Well, I figured, okay, no big problem. You know, I'll stop on a couple of the machines on the way in. You know, there's one in Ronkonkoma. I can stop there. So I did that. I stopped there. There was one guy in front of me. He, you know, got all kinds of money from his account and everything. And, you know, I put my card in, punch in my little password, and, you know, what would you like to do now? Would you like to, you know, withdraw, transfer, deposit, you know, make investments, all the kinds of great things you can do. And I was asked, what do I want to do? And I told him, I want to withdraw cash. I want to withdraw cash so I can take my airplane down to Washington, D.C. and complete my day and be happy and all that. That was a week ago today, by the way, which is why I wasn't here last week. So the machine clicked and whirred away and, you know, was chugging along, all that kind of stuff. And then it said, I'm sorry, I cannot help you now. And I said, what is this? The guy in front of me got money. I've got more than 10 times the amount I'm asking for. Why can't it give me what I want? It's my money. It's not the machine's money. Why can't I have my money? So, fortunately for us consumers, there are these little handy-dandy payphones. Not payphones, regular wall phone type things that you pick up, and it automatically dials the 24-hour bank center. Okay, and they answer all your questions with a smile, with a smirk, I should say, and, you know, give you advice on what to do and what's gone wrong and all that kind of stuff. So I said, perfect, I'll do that. You know, I'll pick up this phone and talk to the people at the other end and find out why I can't get my money, because I'm going to hit the rush hour if I wait much longer. I'm going to miss my plane. Come on, I want my money. So I pick up the phone. This is about 4:30 in the morning. And the phone goes through, it rings in some distant city somewhere, and it picks up and says, sorry, all lines are busy now. 4:30 in the morning. How many people are calling up this thing at 4:30 in the morning to get advice? So then they put on this beautiful, I mean, this is really beautiful music, really beautiful. It made me stand up and you know, take notice of sorts. So they played this fantastically beautiful music, and, you know, I was in rapture there for a few minutes, and I said, wait a minute, I got to get out of here. I got to, you know, get moving westward before the traffic starts, you know, people waking up, going to their work and all that kind of stuff. So there's another machine in Valley Stream, okay? I know where that one is, and I'll go to that one, and it's bound to be working by then. They probably had some sort of computer problem, and that's why they didn't answer the phone, because the guys are busy working on the computer, so they, you know, they don't want to deal with people. So I raced over to Valley Stream, found the machine there. The whole machine there was out of order. It just said, out of order, don't even come near me, I don't feel good today, I don't want to give anyone anything, you know? So I said, this is ridiculous. I picked up the phone, and the same thing happened. I got a message saying, we're sorry, but we're all busy now, and we can't help you. So I threw the phone down on the floor and left. looking for the other machine that was in Valley Stream. There's, you know, I have a little list of where the machines are, and there was another one in this place called the Green Acres Mall. So I had to search around this Valley Stream area to find the Green Acres Mall. I finally found it after about 20 minutes of racing around back and forth. And there are all these huge bank buildings there, you know, all these big ones, six-story buildings. And there isn't my bank anywhere. My bank is not among those. So I figure it's just a little loan machine someplace. And I look all over, and I finally come to the conclusion that these idiots at my bank must have put the 24-hour machine inside the mall that closes at 9 o'clock every night, which does a lot of good to have a 24-hour machine in a place where you can't get at it. So, livid with rage, I race back to the other machine, demanding that it be fixed by then, and finding that, in fact, it wasn't. It was still out of order. I picked up the phone, and would you believe this? It was still on Beautiful Music hold after 25 minutes. Nobody had ever picked up the phone. Well, needless to say, when I came back on Friday, or actually Thursday night, but I did this on Friday, I withdrew every last penny that I had from my bank, and I went elsewhere. Because the events of that day forced me to miss my plane, miss two planes, in fact, and get there really late and totally mess me up. And I was not very appreciative of that at all. And I figured if I had the power, I would go on the radio and say, you know, everybody in the world should just boycott this bank and take all their money out of it and, you know, do horrible, nasty things, spread vicious, ugly rumors about it and, you know, storm their offices and insult the people and get mud on their rugs and all that kind of thing. And they should do it now, whenever they feel like it, you know. But I'm not going to do that, because to do something like that would be abusing power, you know, a certain amount of power, which we don't believe in doing here at the radio station. So don't do that to the bank. I mean, I haven't even told you which bank it is, but I'm sure if you have it, you know. If you want to find out, you can call me and I'll tell you off the air. But I've had it with that. That's what happened to me last week. I spent the whole day flustered about that. What do you think?
That's pretty... I'm wondering if it's the same bank that I deal with, but I can't ask you on the air.
Well, I mean, tell me what your bank has done. I can tell you right away if it's the same bank.
Well, I've never had problems like that. But
I'll just say this, okay? I'm not going to say anything about names of the bank or anything, but it's a bank that a lot of Stony Brook students take advantage of because of convenience.
Yeah, that's probably the one.
That's the one, huh? And these Stony Brook students are really paying through the nose for absolutely nothing, in my view. And I don't think I've said anything slanderous, have I? Good.
I never had
problems. Oh, I need to be sued by a bank, especially an incompetent one like that. But what kind of things? All the time I get these horrible things saying, you know, we can't give you your money now. And, you know, the whole idea of a 24-hour machine is to be available 24 hours and not give you these excuses for no reason.
Well, they close for a couple hours, like an hour every day.
They close every day, yes. They close every day, so it's actually a 23-hour machine. And at night, you know, I called them up once when they did answer their phone, and they said, yeah, you shouldn't use this thing at night because that's when we work on the computer up here, somewhere up in New York State. So you can't use it at night, you can't use it in the middle of the day. When the hell can you use this machine? What's the point of it? So everyone I know who's used that thing has had horrible experiences with it. But when you depend on something like that, that's when you really, really get messed up.
Yeah, I've needed it a couple times. Once it wouldn't accept my my code number, my password.
Really? Even though it was right?
Yeah, I checked it. I tried a few times, and I said, well, I must have it wrong. I went home and searched out the little piece of paper that I wrote it on months before, and it was right, but it wouldn't accept it.
That's strange. Well, sometimes the buttons are weird. The buttons take different signals than you send in.
Yeah.
Strange things. And a couple of times it takes away your card for no reason at all. Just takes it, says, sorry, I have to do this.
Make sure you can't even go to Ronkonkoma to...
You can't do anything.
Try it there.
Can't do anything. It's really horrible. So I don't want to talk about that anymore, but if anyone else wants to talk about something that's bugging them or something that makes them happy, do give us a call, 246-7901. I'm through with my, you know, horrible experiences and stuff like that. I guess I should, in all fairness, come up with nice experiences. I'll try to rack my memory for that. But by all means, give us a call, 246-7901, area code 516. We only have a few minutes left. So you better hurry. We have, actually, our thermometer outside says 30 degrees, which is, what is that?
86
on the Fahrenheit scale. Well, that's not actually all that correct, because our thermometer is in the middle of, it's in the right in the path of the sun. So this time of day, it always tends to get a little bit warmer than it actually is.
I'm going to go out and stand in front of it for a couple minutes.
You know, once somebody went out there and lit a match underneath it, people were announcing on the air, it's 150 degrees outside, and something must be happening up there.
That's 462 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was the Fahrenheit. Out of all fairness, that was the Fahrenheit scale. Anyway, 246-7901, that's our phone number. Give us a call. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just enjoying your program, my friend.
Thank you.
I was listening about those seatbelts.
Yeah?
I don't approve of them.
Why is that?
Well, I knew somebody once that got in a head-on collision with a drunk.
Uh-huh.
And when the fire department got there, they had to use a welder to take off the, weld off the seatbelts off the seat. And when they got him out, his body came out and his legs were off of his body. And I never forgot it. But with this war that's going through on seatbelts, I think the handicapped and the disabled are exempt from using them.
Uh-huh.
And by me, that's all right, because I'm handicapped.
Yeah. What special bad things do seatbelts do for handicapped people?
I don't know. Except maybe if you have a problem in an emergency, you're trying to get out.
Uh-huh.
You know? Anything I can think of.
Now, do you think what happened to your friend is a very typical example? Does that happen often? That kind of thing?
Oh, not that often, really.
What exactly did the seatbelt do, though? I mean, was that was that responsible in some way? And I'm trying to figure out how that could have that kind of an effect.
Well, I suppose when he got it head on.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well, there's really, you know, in a head on, I can't think of anything that'll really help all that much. If it's a, you know, if it's at high speeds.
Right.
There's not all that much that can help. So, you know, I don't know what wearing a seatbelt or not wearing a seatbelt will do for you then, but there are lots of you know, minor collisions, things in parking lots, side collisions,
well,
that kind of thing.
That's true.
And people get a lot more hurt than they should be.
But I'll tell you, there's one place in this area that they come in handy. I don't know if you're familiar with Sheep Pasture Road.
Uh-huh.
That's a bad spot.
Yeah.
From one end to the other.
Oh, where upper sheep pasture meets lower sheep pasture.
That's
they become one. Yes, that is a bad spot. There are bad spots all over Suffolk County.
That's
think
right.
Suffolk County is the most dangerous county in New York State to drive in. I've heard that a couple of times. In fact, Jericho Turnpike, I think, is the worst road in the nation to drive in.
Not really. The Long Island Expressway is worse.
Well, as far as I mean, I don't know if you ever tried to drive Jericho Turnpike for more than a couple of miles at a time, but if you, it's like one big driveway, you know.
Well, right.
People always coming in and going out, at least
they
the expressway.
They all were, aren't they?
What?
They all were.
Well, yeah, but the expressway, you know, is at least everyone's going in the same direction.
Right.
People aren't suddenly pulling out and making U-turns and all that kind of thing.
Well, I couldn't help but call you up and say I enjoy your program.
Well, thanks.
And I thought I'd put in my 2 cents for you.
Where are you calling from?
Port Jefferson.
Great. Okay, well, keep it up out there.
Take care.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
246-7901. There are arguments both ways, of course, for just about everything. I don't know. Maybe it's not fair to say to people that they have to wear seatbelts, you know. But it seems to make sense. I mean, you know, I hear these reports that horrible things can happen to you if you do wear them. But it just seems overwhelmingly in the other direction as far as the horrible things that can happen to you if you don't wear them. There are a lot more minor collisions than there are major ones, like the one described before, where people do get hurt, and they really shouldn't. They really shouldn't be flying forward and hitting their heads and windshields, you know, when they're just doing 10 or 15 miles an hour, and they just knock into somebody in front of them. I think seatbelts can take a lot of the impact out of that. Sure, you'll still have a damaged car, but that's much better than you know, hospital bills and all that kind of thing. But do tell us what you think on that or anything else going on. 246-7901, area code 516. And Before Deirdre gets here, I'd like to update you on the weather. We just did a temperature last time, by the way.
It changed, too.
Oh, it did. It's always changing. I can't keep up with it. Now it's 27, which brings it down to 81. How did that happen? It was 86, like a minute ago. Whew. That just shows you that our thermometer is in a weird place. It'll be clear, comfortable, a little cooler tonight, low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, Saturday, sunny and pleasant high both days, mostly 75 to 80. Tomorrow night, fair and pleasant, low 50 to 55. And let's give a vote of confidence to the weather, okay? It's been good. It's been nice. You know, no hot, muggy, horrible spells that we've been having the last couple of weeks. Although I kind of like the thunderstorms we've been getting. Haven't they been great?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There was a really big bang by my house the other day, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I had the whole neighborhood in an uproar for a couple of hours. You know, residents fleeing into the streets, that kind of thing. Oh, it's fun. Yeah, we've had more thunderstorms this year than I think we had all of last year. And I'm all for it. I'd like to request more of them. We used to have really big ones when I was a kid. Maybe they just seem bigger, but I think we had a lot better ones then.
Is there a number you can call to request that sort of thing?
I'd like to know. How would you find something like that out?
I don't know. I guess, you know, if people call a radio station, maybe we could try to...
Anyone knows how to request a thunderstorm? Anyone know how to make a thunderstorm? I mean, look, I know a lot of these Stony Brook people know how to make nuclear bombs, okay? But let's face it, what good is a nuclear bomb going to do you? Okay, what can you do with a nuclear bomb? You can just explode people and countries and things like that. Okay, big deal, you've done it. Now what? What do you do next? Not much you can follow up a nuclear bomb with, but a thunderstorm. A thunderstorm. Think of it. Think of making your own thunderstorm. First of all, it follows up with a rainbow, huh? Now, that's a pretty good way to follow things up. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, let's think. How do we make a thunderstorm? Can anyone, you know, go up there in an airplane and sprinkle seeds? And it's a project, okay? It's a tough project, kids. Kind of tough. But why don't you try it? You know, give it a shot. 2467901. USB, you're on the air.
Hi, Eric. I heard you talking about seatbelts and the whole issue surrounding that.
Uh-huh.
And it's in my opinion that this new proposed legislation is actually clouding a more important issue and topic, which is airbags in cars. I think that's a much more protective device. And, as a matter of fact, just recently, the board of the American Medical Association directed its membership to lobby the Congress to pass a national airbag legislation.
Uh-huh. Well, let me tell you what I think about airbags. Now, I'm not saying that I'm right about this. This is just what I feel after hearing, you know, various reports on them. A, they're expensive. And B, once they blow up and everything, you have to buy new ones. And they're expensive again. Now, is that true? Have you heard the same things?
Well, I haven't heard of too many airbags in cars actually blowing up. Tests that have been done shown them to be more safe for passengers in collisions than seatbelts. First of all, the initial cost of an airbag, I think the Congress should mandate to the car manufacturers, and any cost that you'd have to incur because it broke, it would be like anything else in the car. Something breaks, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can afford a new car, chances are you can't afford an airbag attachment, too. But what about everybody driving around in used cars? What are you going to do with them?
Well, that probably would be a problem. Of course, you could try and get people to voluntarily have them installed if they're not that expensive. Again, but I think something like this would have to begin by mandating that all new cars and light trucks would have to have them, just as the American Medical Association has suggested in the last week.
Uh-huh.
And well, I'm sort of in favor of that.
I mean, certainly it will, you know, it does sound like a good idea to me, but how hard are they to replace? I mean, we're talking about people who, you know, go out and maybe have a couple of collisions in a week. Are they going to have time to replace the bags and get new ones?
Well, you know, I can't give you all the specific details as far as the technology is concerned. Once they've been inflated, all it is compressed air blowing into a bag. Like a balloon, I assume that the air can be pushed out the other way, and I assume that it can be folded up and put back into either the glove compartment or the steering column.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's... And someone who has more than a few accidents in a week is probably not going to be driving very much after that.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many taxi drivers are on the roads.
Well, that's true.
Ambulance drivers, too. I got a few words to say about those guys, but, you know, there's a limit to how crazy you can get on those things. One thing I would like to see a little bit more attention paid to, how about bringing back some of those, you know, old cars that can withstand these things and not totally crumple up into little pieces of shredded metal? You know, I used to have a 1966 Chevy Impala, okay? And nothing short of a Mack truck would have hurt that thing if it you know, collided with it at a reasonable speed. And that's protection. You know, it's also, you know, maybe a little dangerous because people think they're immune, but it is, you know, for all intents and purposes, a lot safer than these tinfoil things driving around.
Right. I agree with you. My brother has a 66, 67 Impala. And mm-hmm. it's huge, and it weighs so much. And but then again, if you're hit on the side, let's say you're sitting in the passenger seat, it's still a door, and it's probably going to offer you the same protection as the door of a Volkswagen. But for head-on collisions, sure, there's plenty of space. Of course, you know, those cars also guzzle twice as much gasoline. And
that's true. They do guzzle, but
you have to consider what's more important. You know, spending a little more for gas each week or protecting you and your loved ones.
Well, you know, actually. A lot of it does have to do with the individual person, you know. It may seem like an accident is totally somebody else's fault. Okay, fine. But every accident does have a little bit of blame put on the other person as well. I don't care how one-sided it seems, but there is such a thing as foresight. There's such a thing as looking ahead and seeing someone who's doing something strange and unpredictable and preparing yourself for that. Now, a person who sails through a green light and gets hit by a car that's sailing through a red light on the other side is, in my opinion, just as guilty as the person who hit him, because a green light is not, you know, a ticket just to, you know, sail on through without any concerns. It means go through, but, you know, look. If something is approaching you at a high speed, don't go. Don't believe the green light. It doesn't know everything. So if people would, you know, would be more careful about that, if people would see, you know, there's a problem up ahead, there's somebody speeding towards this intersection, it doesn't look like he's going to stop even though he has to, then, you know, don't take the green at its face value. And I like to see more people think when they're doing things like that and know what's going on around them, know what the car in back of them is doing, know what the car in front of them is doing. If I have to stop suddenly, I try to make a point of looking in my mirror to see if the car behind me is aware that I'm stopping suddenly. Because if he's not, I'm going to have some problems, and he's probably going to be sitting right next to me, too.
Well, maybe the state legislature could mandate a $50 fine for people who go through green lights and don't look.
look when you went through that green light.
I don't mean to be facetious. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's something you can't have a law about. It's just common sense, and that's the most important thing, you know. The most important things you can't make laws about.
Right. I agree with you. Can I change the subject a bit?
Well, you have about 30 seconds to do so, but go ahead.
Okay. I picked up a package of bathroom tissue today.
Well, congratulations.
Safe for septic tanks. Now, I've never seen bathroom tissue that said that. Does that mean there are some bathroom tissues that aren't safe for your septic tank?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, they don't advertise the fact that they're not safe for septic tanks, but
What could it do?
Well, it's a very clever advertising ploy, I'll say that. It makes you think twice about buying other brands, doesn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering if this has always been safe for septic tanks. You know, like there are certain sodas that have always been caffeine-free.
Yeah.
I'm just not, you know, I'm not sure if it's an advertising ploy or if I don't use this particular brand, my front yard's going to blow up or something.
What does happen when a septic tank is abused? Does anyone know? Or it just backs up?
You get it backs up.
It backs up on your front lawn and all kinds.
Your house, I think.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if toilet paper can do that. I mean, you know, toilet paper is used to be flushed, in my opinion. Other things, you know, other objects that you might put down there, they can screw things up. But I really think that, you know, toilet paper has been put through some sort of a test, and it should be, you know, it should be safe for that kind of thing.
That's interesting, because here's a company that, rather than advertising that it's soft and it's good for your, you know, where if they're advertising it's good for septic tanks.
Well, you know, are they saying that other ones aren't? Maybe everyone is, and that they're not soft and cushiony, and they don't smell good, so they have to say something positive, and that's the only thing they can think of.
I guess. Is there an organization that's in charge of regulating bathroom tissue? I'd like to call them.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's a toilet paper, you know, regulatory commission or something like that. I think they have a toll-free number somewhere. But I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're called. But, yeah, I'm sure if you call the company that makes that, and ask them, you know, who oversees them. They will have an answer for you.
I think I will.
I think you should. I think people should, you know, follow through on these things and become interested and concerned and think about what's going on.
Yeah,
even something like toilet paper.
Information. I'll give you a call back next week.
I would appreciate that, except I think the legislators are going to be here next week. They probably would be just as interested as I am in that, but I would like to hear from it anyway. You know, call me back in 2 weeks.
I will. Take care, Eric.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye. And we have run out of time once again. But we will be back. I don't think we're going to be back next week. I think the county legislators, Steve Englebright and Gregory Blass, will be here next week to answer your questions about the county government and what's going on. You know, nuclear power, Shoreham, sewers, all that kind of thing. That's next week at this time. In 2 weeks, we'll be back with the Ministry of Truth, and we'll be taking your calls again, talking about toilet paper and phone calls and banks. What else did we talk about today?
Seatbelts,
right. I forgot about that. That's the biggie. So until then, stay cool and stay dry and all that kind of thing. I'm Eric Corley. I'll be with you in the Ministry of Truth in 2 weeks. And be good. Where's that music? Here it is. The Ministry of Truth.
Oh.